So for the next 4 weeks, we are going to be doing just that. We're going to be thinking about the first Christmas and just what an amazing thing happened when Jesus was born and what that means for each one of us. Probably also for the next 4 weeks, some of us are going to be thinking about presents. Do you think anybody of you might be thinking about presents? Maybe presents that you want to get, but also maybe you're thinking about presents to get for other people. And so too here at Cedar Ridge, we're also going to be thinking about 4 different presents for the next 4 weeks. And we're going to light a candle each week to remind ourselves of the gifts that God gave through the birth of Jesus at Christmas. Does anybody remember what the 4 candles, the 4 gifts that God gives to us through Christmas, does anyone remember what those candles represent? Any of them? Hope, yep. Joy, love, peace. Awesome, great. Between us, we get it all. Yeah, and this first one is hope. So today we're going to particularly be thinking about hope. Hope for each one of us. Very ordinary people. Certainly I feel very ordinary. You might not, but I think we all lead pretty ordinary lives. And yet God gives us an extraordinary hope. A hope that comes from knowing that even though we're pretty ordinary people, we get to be part of God's extraordinary plan to fill the world with love. And this morning we're going to think about hope, particularly as we take part in a journey that happened long, long ago. And you can see around the room we've got different stations and we're going to take part in that journey or pretend to take part in that journey. Now there have been some amazing journeys over the years. For example, 130 years ago, Thomas Stevens rode a bicycle all the way around the world. Now, you might think he did it on some cool mountain bike or something, but he didn't. He had a penny farthing, which is one of those really old-fashioned bikes. I think you can see it on the next picture. This is a drawing someone made of him when he got to Japan. He went all around the world on one of those bikes. That's pretty amazing. 10 years later, Annie Londonderry did the same thing, and she did it way, way faster than Thomas Stevens. But to be fair, she did have a bit of a better bike, I think. That does look... But then she's got the skirt, too, so I don't know. But anyway, she was a lot faster. But the fastest anyone has gone was 50 years ago when the crew of Apollo 10 hit a speed of almost 25,000 miles an hour. That's the fastest that anyone's gone. That sounds kind of crazy to me. Kind of scary, don't you think? That's pretty dangerous to be going at 25,000 miles an hour. Another dangerous journey, not quite as dangerous, I don't think. Well, I mean, it was very dangerous, was made by Annie Taylor. She sealed herself into that barrel and pushed herself off the edge of Niagara Falls. If you don't know what Niagara Falls looks like, I think we've got a picture of that. She was the first person known to do a crazy stunt like that and survive. She thought that it would make her rich and famous, but actually she died in poverty. So all you daredevils out there, that is not the way to go, it seems. Other journeys have not been as frivolous as a daredevil stunt. For example, this is a very famous journey, a famous march made in Selma, Alabama in 1965, led by Dr. Martin Luther King. To demand that African Americans be allowed to vote. And this journey was very carefully watched. There was lots of press there. It was in all the newspapers. People wanted to see what would happen on this march. So these are just a few of the amazing journeys that people have made. But the journey we're going to look at today didn't actually seem very amazing. It seemed very ordinary. There was no rocket. There's not a bike. There was no vehicle at all. Some people think there was a donkey, but probably most likely this was just 2 people walking, part of crowds of people walking around. There weren't famous people. There was no press. There was no people kind of watching what will happen. They were just 2 ordinary people, Mary and Joseph, taking a journey. And it wasn't even that long a journey. It was about 100 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Both little villages probably didn't have any more than about 300 people in them. And Mary and Joseph probably walked it in 5, 6, 7 days, something like that. But it was a journey that changed the world. And of course, it was a journey that changed the world because at the end of it, Jesus was born. And God had spoken about this journey about the birth of Jesus hundreds of years before it happened. Micah and Isaiah were prophets. That means that they were people who heard messages from God and then told all the people. And they lived about 700 or 800 years before Jesus was born. And they wrote about this amazing journey and about this baby who would be born at the end of it. So Micah and Andrew are going to come up now and read to us some of the words of the prophet. So guys, can you come up from here?
Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you so much, guys. So we see in this Christmas story a wonderful mix of very ordinary things, very ordinary people, and something really special, something really amazing. This is a story of small, powerless, seemingly insignificant people going about their everyday lives. And at the same time, these people were part of God's amazing plan to bring justice and peace to the world that the prophets had talked about. God's extraordinary plan to fill the world with love. So let's listen to the Christmas story again, the story that's recorded in Luke's Gospel. It's a familiar story, so I think we need to listen extra carefully to make sure that we don't miss it. And Rebecca and Benjamin are going to come up, and they're going to read it to us. And as we listen, let's hear again about how ordinary people get caught up in God's amazing plan. So guys, if you want to come up here, you can just hold your paper.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those who on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, guys. So this is a very familiar story to us. We've probably heard this all many, many times. I assume. Has anyone not heard the story of Jesus being born before? No. Okay, so we've all heard this story before. And so it's easy when we've heard a story a lot of times to not really connect with it and not really kind of get into it because we're like, yeah, we know, right? So that's what we're going to do today is really engage with the story and take little bits of this journey and really interact with it in another way so that we really kind of learn from this story and we don't just kind of have it go through our heads. So what we're going to do is we're going to take about the next 20, 25 minutes or so, and you can go around. There are 7 different stations. By the side doors, there are 2 purple tables that have a handout on them. So you'll each want a handout, and it has little things to read and to think about on each of the 7 stations, okay? Because we know this story really well, you don't have to go in any particular order. So go to the one that's closest to you or that doesn't have a big line, and we'll take plenty of time, so don't worry about it. We'll get to everything. And we'll just really think about the story about how these ordinary people got wrapped up and were invited into God's extraordinary plan. So before we do that, let's just take a moment to say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you that even though we're pretty ordinary people with lots of weaknesses, lots of worries, lots of failings, we are incredibly precious and unique and loved by you. We thank you that you invite us to join you on your journey, your mission to fill the world with love. Please help us to open our eyes and our ears to see you working in this world and help us to open our hearts to be willing to work alongside you. Amen. All right, so go pick up a handout and visit the stations, and then we'll come back. Thank you.